Welcome to Semper Gumby in Alaska, a podcast of the Diocese of Juneau. Broadcasting today from St. Rose of Lima in Wrangell, Alaska. Today is Monday of the sixth week in Ordinary Time, the 13th of February, 2012. We reflect on the life of Sister Dorothy Stane, Martyr of the Amazon. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The Pharisees came forward and began to argue with Jesus, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. He sighed from the depth of his spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Amen, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation." Then he left them, got into the boat again, and went off to the other shore. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. Boy, it's a wonderful privilege to have you with us this morning for Mass, isn't it? Dave, Dottie, and Keen. The other three adults here are normally the daily Mass attendees. That's as full as it gets. So this is fantastic. I'll tell the bishop we sextupled our numbers. And he'll ask me what happened, and I said, "Well, Linda brought all of the children from Holy Name School."
And church,
thank you. Today's readings are very interesting. We see rarely does Jesus lose his patience with us, but in today's reading he does, which is probably his human side coming out. Right? He's just performed amazing miracles, cured the sick, fed the thousands, and the Pharisees come up and want a different kind of sign from heaven. And he just groans from the depth of his being. You can just see him like, "Oh, I'm out of here." And he gets in a boat, goes over to Panic Island. Right? Jesus gets in a boat a lot in the Gospels. So you guys are all very familiar with that. You're going to get on a boat this afternoon and leave our island for your island. Jesus understood traveling by water and moving from one place to the next. We have to be careful that we get into the same boat Jesus is in. Otherwise, he'll leave us on shore. Right? It's a very kind of dark and scary word when he says, right, he left them. You know, when you do Lectio Divina, which is another way of entering deeply into Scripture, you just read it over several times, really slow, and words start to jump out from the page, right? That groaning from the depth of his being jumped out to me this morning, and that other word, he left them. No, Jesus, don't leave them. They need you. And he's like, "But they don't want me as I'm coming to them. They want someone else." How true is that? Whether it be we want our parents to act differently, we want our siblings to act differently, we want our teachers to act differently, we want our bishop, our pope, our president, whatever it is, we want them to be different than they are. Which really kind of ends the relationship we have with them, doesn't it? And we can't meet them for who they are and what they're offering. Jesus is like, "Did you miss the thousands that were deaf and can now hear? How about all the cripples who were brought in on pallets and are now running and rejoicing like young lambs on the hillside? Did you miss all the hungry people that were fed?" He groans. He says, "Oh, please." But that's why he came, right? Because we're hard-hearted, stiff-necked, closed-minded, generally unresponsive to God's word. And so he keeps coming. Every time at Mass, he comes in the Word proclaimed and in the Eucharist and in the assembled body. He comes that we might never be without him. Now, listen to James. James is going to take us to Ash Wednesday. So if you read the daily readings, you'll be reading through most of the letter of James before we begin Ash Wednesday, and it's a great preparation for Lent. He's asking us to do something very particular. First, he consider it all joy, any trials you have. So sleeping on the floor, all joy. And I'm like, Lord, can I have a different kind of joy? What time's your ferry pull into Ketchikan? Can I have a different kind of joy? Right? We want Jesus to be different than he is. But in fact, James is saying, take joy in everything that happens. For if God wanted it to be different, it would be, because God can do all things. Then he says, let your perseverance be perfect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Lord, that's a pretty big, like, I haven't been perfect ever. I mean, even when you got 100% on a test, you know, you were just lucky that they asked you the questions you knew the answers to. And you didn't get asked those other questions, or I was really good at multiple choice questions, right? Of being able to root out clearly the two wrong answers and having a pretty good guessing average on the other two right answers. But I was never sure I'd answered them correctly. What does James mean about being perfect? Well, James is steeped in the first century culture that you offered a perfect sacrifice to God. So think about if you're a herding community and you've got sheep and goats and you want to offer something to God and you want to maintain your flocks, or maybe you have a fleet of vehicles, right? That's more relevant today. Or you've got several skiffs on the beach. Which skiff do you give away? The one that's not so good, right? Which one goes to Salvation Army or the thrift store? It's the broken down stuff, the kind of stuff we've worn out or grown out of. And James is saying, in fact, offer the best. That was the holy law. To temple sacrifice was to offer the best, but we know the Israelites didn't do it. They offered one that might have had a bum leg or a black spotch or missing an ear because, well, it was just going to die and be burnt for God. What does God care what's died and burnt? I want to keep the nice ones for my flock, that the flock might grow stronger. And this is where being a Christian is a very strange thing, because in fact, God doesn't want our second-hand stuff. God wants our first-hand stuff, the stuff we hold most precious. That's the gift God wants us to give away. And I'm like, James, I'm not ready to be that kind of perfect. But maybe that's why he's writing to me as we begin Lent. Like, what am I going to give up during Lent? The things that are easy to give up, like I'll give up television, right? I haven't had television since 1989. I give it up every year for Lent. I started once for Lent, giving it up, and then realized I didn't miss it. But now, gosh, I haven't seen it in so long, I don't miss it at all. But that's not really something to give up because, well, I haven't been enjoying it. Now, giving up my iPhone for Lent? I don't know, James, that's pretty serious. Or my iPad, or my laptop, or my connectivity. No! What? You know, or we can give up chocolate. Well, a challenge, it's not impossible. But what if James is asking us to do something else? Like, instead of spending that time on the internet looking at Facebook, what if you read 5 pages of the Bible each day during Lent? Wow. That might cause far more spiritual growth in my life than giving up the internet. Right? Read 5 pages of the Bible. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Some weeks it was like, okay, I have 30 pages to read because I'm behind. It doesn't really work that way in the spiritual life, right? We have to have small pieces each day, right? Read a little bit of the Bible each day, pray a little bit each day, because while we can go on retreat, and this is great, we can't be on retreat all the time. I'd like to share with you someone who is in fact doing these things, offering her very best self to God. Her name is Dorothy Stang, and she's the martyr of the Amazon basin. Let me tell you her story. She was born in 1931 and died in 2005, yesterday, February 12th. On that morning, Dorothy Stang, an American-born nun who had spent 40 years in Brazil, set off for a meeting of landless farmers. Along a muddy trail, her way was blocked by two hired gunmen who asked whether she carried any weapons. In reply, she produced her Bible and began to read the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the peacemakers. And then they shot her. Sister Dorothy Stang was born in Dayton, Ohio, and joined the Sisters of Notre Dame out of high school and volunteered in 1966 to work in Brazil. Eventually, she was drawn to the remote regions of the Amazon and the cause of the poor farmers who were being exploited and robbed by the rich loggers and cattle barons. She had come to see the connection between defending the rights of the poor and defending the ecology survival of the rainforest itself. Well into her 70s, she trudged through the mud and thick forest to attend prayer services and labor meetings, never traveling with a bodyguard. Her efforts on behalf of the farmers and for the protection of the rainforest marked her as an enemy to the loggers and ranchers who paid for her assassins. Her death aroused the government of Brazil and the whole world to the cause of ecology and justice for which she had offered her life. In death, she became a greater witness than in life. And here's a quote from Sister Dorothy. "My heart screams joy, but I'm needing patience. How to maintain hope that has been challenged. I have to be with these people, even if it means my life. I want to give my life." Thank you for listening to Semper Gumby in Alaska. This is Father Thomas Weiss, a priest of the Diocese of Juneau. If you'd like to send me any feedback, you can reach me through my email at frthomasweiss@gmail.com. Again, that's frthomasweiss@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and if there's any way I can make these podcasts more helpful, please let me know. May God bless you, and have a great day.